Thank you. God bless. Please be seated. I want to thank Bob and Jeannie and Barney and Vicky and whoever else was in on this decision for the opportunity to be able to share God's word this morning. It's always a privilege, so thank you very much. Last week, Bob did a teaching on God's purpose, a spirit-powered teaching on God's purpose. And I wanted to go over that a little bit more this morning. It got me really thinking, and I got in the Word about it right away when I got home because it was really inspiring. And I got in the Word, started thinking, man, I would really love to teach this stuff. And then Bob calls and says, would you like to teach? I know it's short notice. I said, well, not really. It's okay. It's covered. So I just wanted to go into a little bit more about that purpose of God. So we're going to go to Ephesians, if you would. Ephesians chapter 3. And God is so good to have this purpose, an eternal purpose. For man. Ephesians chapter 3 is the verse that Bob went to last week that just is so full of such great truth here. Chapter 3, verse 10. It says, to the intent now that unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known or might be made known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose. There's an eternal purpose, which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. And I said, okay, so what's the eternal purpose? What is this eternal purpose that was, you know, in Christ Jesus our Lord? And we learned a great thing from the man of God who taught us the word, that if you want to know what it is, keep reading. It'll be right there. If it's not in the verse, it's going to be in the context. And it's written right in the context what this eternal purpose is. Verse 12, in whom, in Jesus Christ, we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. We have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of Jesus Christ. We have boldness and access. And this is really important because man lost boldness and access way back when Adam and Eve blew it. Look in the, let's go to Genesis. We'll do that. Genesis chapter 3. God had this purpose for man, that man would fellowship with God. That man would fellowship with God, that he could have a man to fellowship with closely, to fellowship with perfectly. That was the purpose of God. In Genesis, or actually we're going to go to Genesis chapter 1. Let's go to verse 26. It said, and God said, let us make man in our image. And if you don't have some of the background in some of this stuff of the word, the image of God is spirit. It says in the Gospel of John that God is spirit. He's not the guy with the long locks and the big beard and the thing. Because if we were all made in the image of God, some of us would be missing out, right? I want to be the image of God. The image of God is spirit. That's the image of God. God gave man spirit, all right? That's what he gave him. God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, the fowl of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth. Over what? All the earth? Let man have dominion over all the earth? That's what it says, right? That's what it means. God's word says what it means, and it means what it says. Man had dominion over all the earth. And when did he get dominion over all the earth? When he got spirit. That's what it says. Let us give him spirit, make him in our image. We'll give him dominion over all the earth. And man had dominion. Man was in charge. Man had authority. Men had authority over the earth, over all the earth. And God thought it was really good that we would have the authority, man would have that, that he would fellowship with God by way of this Holy Spirit that God had given him. And then, I don't know how long this took, but in the Bible, it's just reading a little ways to chapter 3, where the adversary tempts Eve, and we won't go into all of that. But in verse 6, chapter 3, verse 6, it says, "And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat and gave also unto her husband with him, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were open, and they knew they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves," man, "from the presence of God." They hid themselves from the presence of God because all they knew was the presence of God. That was life. That was how they lived. It was just walking with God moment by moment, all the time. Just what a fellowship. And that was God's purpose. The original purpose for man was to just walk with God. When they did what they did, they lost Holy Spirit. They lost Holy Spirit. They lost dominion of the earth. Because when did dominion over the earth come? When they got Spirit. When they lost Spirit, they lost dominion over the earth. So the adversary could run rampant and do his thing. But God had this eternal purpose. A little bit further down in 3, chapter 3. You know, they hid themselves. Oh, wait, let's keep reading there in verse 8. "They hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, 'Where are you?' And he said, 'I heard thy voice in the garden and I was afraid. I was afraid of God.'" Oh, man. Condemnation. He was afraid. But down in verse 13 it says, "And the Lord God said unto the woman, 'What is this that thou hast done?' And the woman said, 'The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat.' And the Lord God said unto the serpent, 'Because you've done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel.'" God makes a promise that there is going to be a redeemer. Somebody's going to come and buy it all back. Going to buy the whole thing back. Going to get the whole package back. Going to make Holy Spirit available again. Holy Spirit, that image of God available, that man can be born again by the Spirit of God, that he can fellowship with God moment by moment, all the time, as much as he wants. Free will to fellowship with God and have dominion over this earth. It's really cool. Man has dominion now. Do you know that? The men who are born again of God's Spirit have dominion. That's where it's at. That's what it says in the Word. You get Holy Spirit, you have dominion. You know how many times God healed somebody from the Gospels through the epistles? That God did the healing. That it says God healed them. One, when he raised Jesus Christ from the dead. God raised Jesus Christ from the dead. Every other place that a healing is in the Word, the man did the healing. Now, I know overall, you know, a guy who's not born again of God's Spirit just can't go out and do healing. Godly healing like that. It takes Holy Spirit, and God is the great healer, and God, you know, obviously it's the power of God. But the point is, man has the dominion to do it. When you're sitting in your chair there, why don't you just get healed? Why doesn't God just come up and heal you? He wants you healed, right? Because we have the dominion to do that. That's our job. That's our power. That's our authority nowadays. We just got to know what it is and start walking in it, you know? We just got to claim our rights of who we are. Don't take any crap from the adversary. You know, back him off. Get back. We got a redeemer. Back off. You got nothing on our lives. Yeah. Back to Ephesians. And this is why. This is so cool here. Because we have boldness and access by confidence. I want to go over a few of these words and just explain what they mean, because some of them are interchangeable, and you'll read boldness and you might think, okay, that's fearlessness. Or you'll read confidence and you'll think, okay, that's, you know, I'm just confident in this, I trust this. But the words have some different meanings. So there's some Greek words. If you want to know the Greek words, I'll give them to you later. But I do want to just go through a few of these things to show you what this boldness means, what it really means for us to have this and to have this purpose. And this is the purpose, right? This is the eternal purpose. Boldness, access by confidence. But first, let's look in verse 8. I need a drink of water. It says, "Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ." They're untrackable or unsearchable riches of the Christ. And it was unsearchable and untrackable because God didn't want the adversary to know about it. Because it says, it's in Corinthians, right? If the devil knew, if the princes of the world knew that you were going to have boldness and access to the throne of God, that you could walk in, sit in daddy's lap and say, "This is what I need," he would have never killed Jesus Christ. He wouldn't have done it. Because he's afraid of you. Josh was over at our place last night, and he had a good vision. We were talking about this stuff last night, and he was saying how it was almost like a cartoon where the adversary hit Jesus Christ on the head with a big mallet, you know, and he kind of like exploded, but all the pieces went and grew new Jesus Christs. That's one way to look at it, but I mean, they just, okay, go ahead. Please. It's neat. Okay, it's unsearchable. Couldn't know it. And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery. It's a mystery because he didn't want people to know. He didn't want the adversary to know. Which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God. Okay, it's unsearchable. It's a mystery. It's hid in God. We got it. It's not supposed to be known. This stuff wasn't supposed to be known. To the intent that now, unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places, unto the adversary, unto his hordes, unto the bad guy devil spirits, unto everything that evil side represents, unto that now might be made known by the church. To be made known by the church. We're the ones that make known unto the bad guys the manifold wisdom of God. This group of believers, this body of Christ. It's the church that does this, right? Isn't that what it says? Did I read that? In heavenly places might be made known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. We make known unto the dark side of the forest. We, the church, make known the great wisdom of God in keeping this a secret. Keeping it a mystery so that Jesus Christ would be the sacrifice, so that now we have boldness and access. We have boldness and access to the throne of God. We can walk in. We just walk on in. Not afraid of God. Adam was afraid, wasn't he? He ran, he hid. "Oh God, you're so terrible, I hate you. What all God had done was given him a planet." You know? "Here's a planet, and it's yours, and do whatever you want with it, and just don't do this." All God has ever been is good, and people are afraid of God. People are afraid to go to God. Why would you be afraid to go to God? Because your heart condemns you? We're going to get to that, but... Okay. Here we go. This is good. "According to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him." We're going to look at boldness. We'll give you the Greek word, paresia. It's boldness. Now, actually, what this word literally means is to utter freely, to speak freely, to speak plainly, to say what you mean and mean what you say, to share your heart, to let it out, to blah. You know, to plain speaking is what this means. It's a great word. Look in Acts chapter 4. Somebody go to Acts chapter 4, verse 13. Somebody go to verse 29. We'll get somebody there. And somebody to verse 31. This word is used a lot in Acts chapter 4. And in Acts chapter 4 is when things were rocking pretty good, wasn't it? This is when stuff was really happening. Who's in verse 19? Is that the first one? Or 13? Go ahead, whoever wants to. Right, the boldness of Peter and John. This isn't fearlessness, which boldness can mean. This is speaking it out. This is letting it out. This is talking. This is freely speaking. This is letting her fly. When they saw that and they went, wow, these are ignorant men. These guys are not scribes. They're not Pharisees. They're not anything. Who are these guys? They're fishermen. And they're rocking it, man. They're rocking the boat, these fishermen. They're letting it out. What's the next one? Verse 29? Whoever's got it, go ahead. Yeah. Right, they prayed for the very thing that got them in trouble in the first place. When you got to read the chapter, they got taken by the high priest and, you know, beaten and threatened and everything else. And so they prayed for more boldness. Just don't let us not speak. I know it got us in trouble. We're whipped. We got whipped. We got beat or whatever. They're threatening us. Just give it to us some more, man. Let us speak plainly. Let us speak the word. And then in verse 31, right after that. Go ahead, Ken. Spake the word of God with boldness. That's what they prayed for. That's what they got. They spake the word of God with boldness. It's to speak freely. Go to Hebrews chapter 10, if you would. We're going to look at this. Hebrews chapter 10. And you guys read in whatever translation you got there. I'm actually going to read out of Jan's Aramaic New Testament translation. Because this is good. In verse 12 of Hebrews chapter 10, it says, "But this one," I'm reading from the Aramaic, you just kind of read along, verse 12, "but this one offered one sacrifice for sins and sat down at the right hand of God forever." Verse 13, "And he remains there from now on until his enemies will be placed as a footstool under his feet. For with one offering he perfected those who were made holy by him forever." Verse 15, "Now the Holy Spirit also is a witness to us, for he said, 'This is the covenant that I will give to them after those days, says the Lord. I will place my law in their minds. I will write it on their hearts, and I will not remember their wickedness and their sins.'" What's it saying, King James, there, that verse? Verse 17.
"And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more."
No more. He's not going to remember sins and iniquities anymore. He's not going to remember them. It's not like he's, "Well, I'm going to forgive them." What does he say? He doesn't remember them. He doesn't remember them. I know what that's like. I don't remember what I had for breakfast. You know, I'm getting old. I don't remember stuff anymore, you know. But God's not old. He's just totally forgiving to the point that he doesn't remember. He doesn't remember. Yeah. He's forgotten about it. So what are you bringing it up for? Why are you hiding in the trees when the voice of God comes? Don't do it. The adversary's a sneaky little guy, man. He's just, Don't let him do that to you, okay? You're not going to remember anymore. Verse 18. "Now, where there is forgiveness of sins, an offering for sins is not required. We have, therefore..." What's the therefore? Therefore. Because there's forgiveness. There's disremembrance. There's
I'm not going to remember this stuff. Therefore, my brothers, boldness. We have therefore boldness in the entering of the sanctuary by the blood of Jesus. There's boldness in the entering of the sanctuary. What's it reading King James again? Barney, what you got? Yeah, we have boldness in the entering into the sanctuary. There was only one guy who could enter the Holy of Holies once a year. Was the high priest to do sacrifice. He could only go in once a year. One time, high priest. Nobody else could go in there. Now we go in speaking plainly, speaking frankly. We can when we walk in now to the Holy of Holies where God lives, you know, the door's open. You walk in. Okay, this nobody can go in the Holy of Holies, you know. No, before Holy Spirit was available, you can't go into the Holy of Holies because God is Spirit. But now Spirit, by access, we have access. We go in with boldness. And what we do is we just say frankly what you want to say to God. It's not hiding in the trees. I was afraid because you were there and you did all this good stuff for us. No, it's God. Here, I'm here. I made it. Or, you know, Jesus Christ got me here. I'm just so blessed. And this is what I'd like. And this is what I want to have happen. And I'd like to just see the word move over the world. And let's go. And Father's like, no. This is the Holy of Holies. And, you know, remember the Holy of Holies? No, that's not how it works. No, God's pretty blessed, actually. Gosh. Verse 20, in a way of life that is now made new for us by the veil that is his flesh. And we have a high priest over the house of God. Therefore, we should come near. What's it reading, King James? Let us draw near. Therefore, let us draw near. Near to what? To God. Therefore, let us draw near. Come on. God's just like, you ever seen a grandpa or a dad? And their kids are there, and he's just like, come on. I mean, a good grandpa or a dad? It's just like, come on, man, I just want to draw near. Come to God. Come near to God, because he wants to bless you. He wants to share everything with you. He's given you a planet again. He has given you everything is yours. You are joint heirs with Christ. So, isn't that just wonderful? We should come near with a steadfast heart, with a true heart, and with confidence of believing. Confidence of believing. And we can have confidence, we're going to see, because it's the believing of Jesus Christ that accomplished all this. He did it, so we can have confidence. But isn't that great boldness there? Look at 1 John. 1 John, chapter 4. Verse 17, it says, herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. In the day of judgment, this is the day of, from what I understand, this is man's judgment, unless somebody else has another insight on this. It's this day, now, this day of man's judgment. We can have boldness. We can speak freely. We can say God's word and know it's going to come to pass. We can command the things that we need to command, and they will come to pass in this day of man's judgment. Because, why? Because, keep reading. As he is, so are we in this world. This isn't the future judgment. It can't be. Because as he is, so are we now in this world. As Christ is, so are we now. The works that Christ did, we do. As he is, so are we. The access he has to God, we have. He's at the right hand of God. He's there. He's one with God. We have that. As he is, so are we. That's why we can speak plainly. Speak boldly. Speak the word. That's that boldness.
All right, the same word, parousia, this is why I wanted to give you kind of the Greek stuff on this, is also translated confidence, a different word from the confidence in Ephesians, but it's in 1 John also, and I wanted to look at that 1 John chapter 3, just flip back. Parousia is translated confidence here instead of the boldness, but it still means the same thing, speaking freely. The Greek means the same no matter what we slap on it. You know, we put English words on it. So 1 John chapter 3, verse 19. And hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. Bob called me, when he called me and asked me to teach, he said, do you have any songs, you know, that you might want? And I thought, well, you know, I'll think about it. And I never got back to him and said, oh, well, he'll pick out the good songs. So then this morning when Bob, he said, okay, we're going to turn to number 10, or was it, whichever one it was, blessed be the name. But he said, blessed assurance. I said, yeah, I knew he'd pick the right song for this verse. All right, yeah, blessed, I knew it was going to come up at some point. All right, blessed assurance. And then Bob goes, no, not that one, blessed be the name. And I'm like, ooh. One of us isn't walking, man. And I know it's not me, no. Just kidding. But then we did sing Blessed Assurance right after that. And I was really blessed when I heard that come out because of this verse, you know. Verse 19, and hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. We have assured hearts. We can walk in with an assured heart that, you know, God's going to take care of this. Blessed assurance. For if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart. If your heart does condemn you, God is greater than your heart. If your heart's condemning you, God is greater than your heart. He's forgotten. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence, parousia, boldness to speak to God. Boldness, confidence to God. Boldness, free speech, plain speaking, frankly saying toward God, if our heart condemns us not. So, yeah. Stop condemning. Verse 22, and whatsoever we ask, we receive of him. Whatsoever you ask, you receive of God, because your heart's not condemning you. God wants you to have the stuff. All right. You know, there is no condemnation. Is there any condemnation? Now, how much condemnation is there to a believer? Zero. There is no condemnation. There isn't any condemnation. God has forgotten. He doesn't remember. There's nothing to be condemned about. There isn't any condemnation. Let's look at it in Romans chapter 8. We'll just look at it real quick. Jeez, I better get going. Romans chapter 8, verse 1. You guys are familiar with this. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. If you got Spirit, the spiritual reality is there is no condemnation. There is none. God has forgotten. And if your heart doesn't condemn you, then you can freely go to God and ask, instead of hiding in the trees. This is the purpose, was to get us out of the trees, I guess. To get us out of that thing of afraid of God and no access and no more power and no walking and no dominion, because we don't want God's stuff because, I don't know why, because we think we don't deserve it. Oh, that must be it. We are in condemnation and we don't deserve what God has already said we get and deserve because we have Holy Spirit. Who are we to argue with the Lord God Almighty? You deserve it because you have Spirit. It's pretty good. All right, look at verse 15 while we're here real quick. For you have not received the spirit of bondage. Okay, you got the spirit again, right? Jesus Christ made the spirit available again. Well, that spirit that we got in verse 15 is not the spirit of bondage again to fear. Remember? Adam was afraid. We're not afraid of God. We don't have that spirit. We're afraid of God, a spirit of fear. We've received the spirit of adoption or sonship whereby we cry, Daddy! Daddy! And all you guys in here who have kids, you know it, right? Father, Father, when you hear that, you dads, when that guy comes up and says, Daddy, Daddy, or that little girl comes up, climbs into that, Daddy, Daddy. I don't know what it doesn't say about mommies here, but it's got to be the same thing where you just go, your heart like melts. Oh, man. Yeah, what is it? What can I do for you? What can I get you? What can I do? What do you need? It's okay. But you were bad last week. Therefore, I don't know. Okay, verse 37. It says, nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Nothing can separate us. These devil spirits, it lists them here again, principalities, powers, bad guys, nothing. Your condemnation of your own heart, it can't separate you. We're in. You're in. You got seed. It's spirit seed, man. Great. So that's boldness. Let's look at access. Real quick. Ephesians chapter 2. Remember? The purpose that we would have boldness and access with confidence. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 18, it says, for through him we both, meaning Israel and the Gentiles, we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now, therefore, you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints. You're of the household of God. We have access to God. We have access. Literally translated, what this word access means is the introduction. You have the introduction. You've been introduced. Like in business. Say you're a business guy. Sales guy in a business kind of thing. It's way easier. You guys who are sales guys or who are in business, how much easier is it when somebody with some pull in the company that you would like to have access to, somebody in that company introduces you to the right guy in the company to get you where you need to go. That's way easier than calling on the phone and trying to get through the secretary and then the gatekeeper and then the secondary gatekeeper and then whoever else. You guys know what I'm talking about, right? When you go to sell waffle stuff. Man, it's way easier when you have a referral, when you got an introduction, when you got somebody on the inside. You know, the band's trying to make it, you know, and who is there anybody in the industry who can help us, you know, who we can get introduced to? Well, that's what this is. It's an introduction. It's access is a good word because Jesus Christ, he goes, okay, and what's your name? Michael? I'm Don. Jesus Christ says, okay, Father, I'd like to introduce to you Michael. He's the Son of God with all power. I bought him back. Here he is.
There you go. Thanks.
That's what it is. It's the introduction. And here's Dale. God, you know, he's Father. Here's Dale. I'd like to introduce you to Dale. He just got born again. He's the Son of God with all power. And you have access. You have the introduction to God. It's just great. Now, and this morning was so cool.
Bob had everybody introduce their guests. And it was so great, introducing our brothers, you know, and everybody's kind of anticipating and who's this and that. And these new babies, there's a baby here on its first fellowship, right? This new baby, how do you think God feels when that new thing is introduced to him and has access? That new person who gets born again, that new baby. You know how you felt when you were introduced to your babies for the first time? Here's your baby. Oh, God. You just, your knees. Yeah, God is so blessed. You got the introduction. You got in. And it's your father that you got introduced to. That's great. Look at 1 Peter chapter 3. One more place where this word access, well, it's not access here, it's translated a little differently. 1 Peter chapter 3. Verse 18. Some of this is going to sound familiar. Kind of all ties together. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. Bring us to God is that same word for access in Ephesians. It's to bring you to God. Here, come here. He takes you to God. The Holy of Holies, the veil's down, the thing's open. You can just, he takes you right to God and brings you to God. He brings you right to God. It's the introduction to God. It's the introduction. And God's pretty happy too. You know, I know you're really in awe. We're in awe because it's God Almighty, but his purpose is fulfilled. The sacrifice of his son was worth it. Come to God. Draw near. Remember that, draw near? It's time to draw near. Oh, man. So he could bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit, by which also he went and preached to the spirits in prison. Have you ever noticed how these guys, the devil spirits and the negative side is kind of always hanging on the outskirts here, and they get witnessed to here by Jesus Christ? They're, the manifold wisdom of God is made known unto them by the church. I wonder if there's some other parts of this purpose. That God is saying, look, my son did it. It's over. We win. Because this keeps coming up over and over again. I think it's part of it. It's fun. Yeah. By which he also went and preached to the spirits in prison. There's some spirits who caused the flood who are in chains, which sometime were disobedient when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah while the ark was a-preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls, were saved by water. The like figure, whereunto even baptism doth also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Oh yeah, by the way, who is gone into heaven, who's at the right hand of God, angels and principalities and powers being made subject unto him. There's a reason why this is all in the context, and it keeps coming up. Because part of that great introduction, part of the great boldness, is that we are the victors. We are the more than the conquerors. We win. It's the way it is. We win. We're in charge. We have dominion. When we say it, it happens. When we speak in the name of Jesus Christ, it comes to pass. That's the way it is. Believe it or not, I don't, you know, you got to do that, but that's what it says, and that's the way it is. We do this stuff. And it's because God loves us, man. He doesn't condemn us. He can't remember a darn thing wrong that you ever did. Every time you walk into the door and draw near, it's, oh, it's that guy. Yeah, great. Let's rock. What do you want? What can we do? It's great. All right, we're going to look at confidence in just two places, and then we'll be done here. Philippians chapter, let's see. Philippians chapter 3. So we have this free speaking as we enter into the throne room of God because we got the introduction, the access, that's boldness and access, and we can do it with confidence. And here's the confidence. Back in Ephesians, it was, what did it say in Ephesians? Can somebody go to Ephesians just real quick? 3:18. Bob, you want to do that one? Was it 3:12. I'm sorry, 3:12. Right, by the faith of Jesus Christ. The reason we can have confidence is because we didn't have to do it ourselves. You know, if you look at yourself, yeah, you might go, well, I don't know. But Jesus Christ accomplished this. It was by his faith, his believing, that this was all accomplished. So in Philippians chapter 3, verse 4, it says, though I might also have confidence, well, let's look at verse 3. For we are the circumcision, which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath, whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. So if you think you're good, check Paul out. If you want to confide in your flesh and trust in your flesh, well, Paul's pretty good. He was circumcised the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law of Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted lost for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness or justification, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by believing. The confidence is by the faith of Christ. Jesus Christ did this, so we can be confident. Our brother went before us, and he did this. He accomplished this stuff, so we can be confident when we walk in. It's also used as trust in 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Translated trust, this will be the last verse we'll go to. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Verse 4, it says, and such trust have we through Christ toward God, or to Godward. Here's the trust. Here's the confidence we have through what? Okay, that's making the point pretty clear. This is a bunch of times. It's through Christ. It's Christ that did this. It's Christ that did this. So we can be confident. We can have confidence that he's already done it. He already did it. We went rock climbing yesterday. Rock climbing in the gorge, climbing these big cliffs. People were going off on these rappels, off of these big cliffs, and you hook some gear onto these bolts that were stuck in the rock, or you wrap stuff around rocks, and we're going, man, is that enough protection? Is that enough stuff in there? So we're trying to do everything. And the first guy off has the fun job. The first guy rappelling off the cliff is the first guy to get on there. He's the first guy to test if the rope is going to hold. He's the first guy to test, did we do this right? Is everything in there? The first guy off, he goes off. That's a bold dude, man. He is like, okay, I'm going. I trust that you just did this right, and this rope's going to hold me. See ya. He goes down off this cliff. And it's big. It was high. If you fell off, it would hurt. The second guy who goes off, well, there's a little trepidation, but you know what? That other guy went off, and it all held up pretty good. So there's a little more trust. There's confidence that, oh, yeah, this is fine. This is already done. Yeah, I can go off of this thing. You guys who went out to mountain climbing when we were doing lead, you know what I'm talking about, right? The guy said, oh, I know, because I was the guy who set the stuff up, and then I had to go off first to test it. I'm like, geez, I hope I did this. This is scary. But when the first guy goes, everybody else goes, okay, the rope's going to hold. It's good. Jesus Christ already did this. He already went, so we can have confidence. When we boldly speak, when we speak what we know to be true from the Word, when we walk into the throne room of God and speak with boldness, we can do it because we have confidence that our big brother already did it. He already went through it for us, you know. So, as he is, so are we in this world. We can boldly go to God, ask for what we need, and he is not going to remember anything bad that you ever did. He doesn't. All he's going to do is give to you what you asked to receive. Because he's God Almighty and he's our Father and he's wonderful. So, Father, thank you for your word. Thanks for boldness and access, and that we can come to you and draw near to your heart and not be afraid to ask and step off of that cliff of believing and know that you will be there to hold us. You'll be there as a sure footing that, Father, we can just come to you with full assurance of heart, knowing that your love is bigger than our hearts, and that your love, Father, is greater than all. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Thanks, Bob.